Okay, welcome to the last session slot of Ignite in Moscow. Thanks for holding on. I guess people are tired already, but there's a couple here, so thanks for coming. This is a overview of all the Pro Plus deployment related sessions that we have held during this Ignite event. So this is a full session list, all of the presentation decks that we did show in each of these sessions will be available to you on Yammer. I've already posted the ones from yesterday, and the ones from today will also be posted there. If you do have questions, feedback, do post on Yammer. We'll be checking that, answering anything even after the sessions are over. So this session is the final one. It's on deployment. It's about troubleshooting and the tools that you have available to you and where you can check when errors occur in your environment, what possibly might help your support or your admins to identify errors, and where you can find logs. We'll also talk a little bit about coexistence and repairing and uninstalling Office. Okay, let me quickly change my display settings. And then we can continue. Okay, so generally these three are the logging option that you do have available to you. On the one hand, you have ULS logging, which helps you which is used for identifying installation errors. Then you have TCO logging for application launch and sign-in errors, which helps you identify those. And the last one is OSPP logging. This is used for identifying installation errors. So this is just a brief and general overview of what a click-to-run installation looks like and kind of in what context the application runs during which phase of the installation. So you hit off setup.exe, which is the Office deployment tool. We have talked about this in the previous sessions if you have attended any of them. Then you have the Office click-to-run exe, which runs in user mode and does tasks like launch, first run experience, last run experience. And you have also the Office click-to-run.exe running in system mode, which carries out things like configuration, the streaming of the source files, and the integration. And the service continue running for the entire life of the product. So they are on the client. And if you have been to any of the other sessions, then we have already referred to this before. So the first one I want to show you is OSPP logging. This is the software protection platform, which is a Windows 8 service, so it works with Windows 8 and higher, so to say, and is responsible for activation. Office installs a script, which is called OSPP.vbs. This is on your computer once you have the client installed. It's not admin-specific. It's on each user client available. With a series of activation-related switches that come with it. So this kind of allows you to check on the activation of your running Office. Common ones are dstatus, which gives you an overview of the current activation status of your Office, because it is a service, so via a scheduled task, it regularly checks for its activation, and this is a way for you to see how many days you have left with your current activation. What you might remember is that we said for every 30 days, at least, the user has to log on again and connect to the internet for Office to stay activated and not go into reduced functionality mode. And in the first step, so this session is going to be a lot of me showing you what these things actually look like, so it's not just so much theory. And if you have any questions, raise your hand, just ask the question, and I'll make sure to answer them. But in the first step, I'm going to show you OSPP logging. So this is essentially the file path. Okay, you can't see. You do have to say when I'm talking about something that you can't see. Okay. So under C, program files, if you have a 32-bit installed, this is not in line with your OS infrastructure. I have a 64-bit Windows, but Office is installed in 86, so that's why you'll find it in the program files 86. Well, it's in 32-bit, obviously. Microsoft Office, Office 15. And here you can see the OSPP VB script file that I was just talking about. So what I'm going to do next is, let me check if this is the right one. Yes, it's this one. Open a command prompt. That is already, I've already changed the file path to this one. So what I'm going to do now is run that OSPP. Okay, let me quickly change my display settings because I currently can't see what I'm doing on that screen. So I'm going to do that quickly. Okay. And now go back to the command file. Okay, so C script OSPP.VBS and then hit D-status to get information on the status of my current installation. So on this PC, I have Office 365 Pro Plus installed, and what it's now doing, it's retrieving that information on what the current licensing status is. This is going to take a minute or so, and then we're going to get information on what the remaining time is. Here we go. And I'm going to enlarge this so that you can better see. What we see here is Office 365 Pro Plus. So this is the installation package that I have. License status, it is currently licensed. And the remaining grace that I have is 56 days. So this is the actual. If you do remember, I just mentioned 30 days is what we tell customers, that you always have to be online at least once every 30 days for Office to stay activated. In reality, it's usually more. And this is a way for you to find out what the remaining grace period is for the Office to still be activated and when the user, in theory, would have to log on next. But naturally, users are off online much more often, so usually don't run into a problem. But this is a way for you to check this. And as you can see, I'm going to open Word really quickly. It's fully licensed. This is the normal status. So what I'm going to do now is actually advance my system clock to show you what the effects are. So I'm going to go forward by about, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. Hit apply. Okay, so now it's the 5th of December. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to carry out that same command and see what Office does. Oh, an unknown error has occurred. Great. Okay, let's try that again. Not what you want to do in a troubleshooting session, but yeah, so to say. Okay, here we go. So here again, you see Office 365 Pro Plus, and the remaining grace has changed to 14 days. Also get that information in minutes, but that doesn't matter. So now I would only have 14 days left. So it really does track the information on how long, when the last time was when you activated your Office. And now I'm going to advance this again to show you what Office looks like when it does run out of its license status. So 3, 4, 5, another week. Let's jump to January. Give it a second. And hit that again, because then you will see that we have run out of grace time. We're no longer licensed. For the sake of that, I'm actually going to turn on or not. Okay. All right, here we go. License status. I'm no longer licensed. The validity here, and here you can see that the error description is that the validity period has expired. So I'm no longer licensed because I wasn't able to connect within the period that I am available to. And if I open any of the office applications now, that's what it tells me. Couldn't verify your subscription. I purposely went into airplane mode now, so otherwise it would have connected right away to the internet to check if there is an internet connection. I'm just going to hit cancel for now. And this is what reduced functionality mode looks like. So if you do run out of your license status, one reason is your license was revoked by your admin because maybe you've left the company or because you haven't been online for at least 30 days. You can no longer use this to edit anything. So all that you have left is read mode. You can still read, but I'm trying to type right now, and Office isn't letting me do that. So I would have to validate my subscription again. And it's going to connect my account right away, but I'm just going to change back to the real date to make sure that I'm activated again. But this is just a way for you to see what OSPP VBS can do, what that VB script is there for. It's a way for you to check the licensing status. Yeah, okay. I have to restart now. Okay. Yep, and now I'm just going back to my and feel free to ask any questions in between. Please do. So the next one is ULS logging, Unified Logging Service. This isn't ClickTrend specific. Who has used or is using ULS logging? No one? Okay. Anyway, so it enables ClickTrend logging. Logs get created during the install with ULS and when updates are applied and so on. So every time something changes to the actual installation, they are located in that folder. So in the temp folders, if you want to access them and see them, and I will show you this in a second. The file name is always in the format of the machine name. So for me, that's KKSCHEL, which you will see in a second, and then .log, so whatever the computer name is. And errors can be found by looking for log lines with unexpected verbosity level. So we'll do that in a second, but this is a way for you to see during my installation or when updates applied and something isn't working anymore to go back to the log files and check for that. So that's the next thing we're going to do now and see what that looks like, what a log looks like and what you can do with it. So this is my temp folder. My Windows temp folder. And this is what I just mentioned, what log files look like. So KKSCHL, oh, okay, you can't see anything. Someone has to raise their hand and tell me. All right, here we go again. So this is my temp folder in Windows. And let me make this easier for everyone. Yes, okay. So, these are all the log files that are related to ULS logging. And what I'm going to do is actually choose this one because it's the largest file that you can see. So what I can do now is search for unexpected. This is what I just mentioned. So this is the way for you to look for errors. And here you can see that I have a number of unexpected errors in this log. So it goes back till yesterday. And I do want to look at this in a little bit more structured way. So what I'm actually going to do is open it in Excel. And just format this so that I'm able to filter. And I will find this under level. So if you just filter by unexpected, these are all the unexpected events that have occurred since yesterday. So this is my log. It only dates back till yesterday for click to run. And here you can see all the unexpected errors. And then obviously, in this column, it tells you exactly what happened. So for here, example, it wasn't able to send an HTTP send request. Or in this case, it wasn't able to extract the V32 cab, which is always part of the source files. And obviously this isn't, it's not in plain English what exactly happened here, but this is a way for you, if a user just calls the help desk and says, hey, something isn't working anymore, they sometimes don't know they got an update because with Office Click to Run updates, they run in the background. So if there was no user toggle or any of the indicators, they don't know that they might have gotten an update. And this is a way for you to go back to their machine log file and see what has happened, what unexpected errors occurred, and kind of go back and see if you can date back what exactly happened on that user and what's wrong with the installation. No, that's not what I want to do yet. Okay. Okay. So the next one is TCO logging, which throws you errors that come up during the application launch or sign-in logs. So each way of logging kind of gives you information on different types of errors or different types of information that you're looking for. So depending on what the error is or what you're looking for, you would use either one. The logs get created upon application launch, so every time one of the Office applications is opened. They're located in the temp folder, and they're in the format of appname.axelog. And here you would also be searching for unexpected or failure if you're looking for an error in the specific context. So I have created a log file. I've used it. One that's a little bit longer so that we actually have something to search for. And let me duplicate my display in a second. All right. So this is a sample log file, what that looks like. And again, here I would be searching for unexpected. In this case, yeah, I only have two of them, unexpected OLS error hit. And it's a licensing issue, which is what I can see from here. So there's a problem with my license that I encountered. So this is something that I can go back to. Licensing error, does the user really have a license assigned, for example? Did something go wrong if you're using automated licensing appointment through PowerShell, for example? So this is another log file that you can use when there's login errors, right, upon launching the application. That's just another tool that's available for you, depending if that's the kind of error you're looking for. It's a little hard switching back and forth. Okay, and what I want to show you now is a little bit about behind the activities of the activation process that Office 365 Pro Plus has. Different data gets sent during those individual processes. So depending on what situation you're in, during the initial registration or activations, which happens only once, obviously, at the first sign-in, depending if you have single sign-on in place or if the user has to type it manually, that doesn't really make a difference. These four types of data are sent: user ID, product key, computer name, and the machine ID. So this is what's being transferred to Office 365 licensing service. And then there is the subscription check, which is if you did attend any of the other sessions, we did take a look at that. That's a scheduled task that's created upon install. It regularly checks if it's a heartbeat, so to say, to maintain the license, and checks regularly if the user still has a license assigned, because obviously you do have the option of just revoking the license from your Office 365 portal, and then the user would run out of a license state. This does run daily, and what the only data that gets sent in this case is actually the product key. So I'm not resending all of the data again and again, but it's just checking against the product key if that's still valid or not. Then there's product key management, which happens around once a month, but that's subject to change, so that's why we put that there. It occurs during the subscription check, updates the product key information, so that's also ever-changing, so to say, extends the product usage, and it connects to the activation and validation service. And also, the data that is sent here is the product key. So what's probably important in this case when you're setting up Office 365 and Pro Plus, there is a range of URLs and IP addresses that need to be reachable. So those ports protocols, they're all well documented, but you need to make sure that anonymous access to these URLs is available, because otherwise the client wouldn't be able to connect and actually validate the license. So all of these need to be reachable, and there's quite a number of them. So this sometimes, depending on how you've set proxies and so on, this sometimes can be something that poses a challenge the first time when you set up Office 365. Who has already deployed Clicked Run in this room? No one. Okay. Anyone considering deploying Clicked Run? I would hope all hands to go up now. Okay. Yes? All right. Okay, coexistence with previous versions of Office. So something that we always put forward in a migration scenario is that with Clicked Run, it's very easy and even recommended to run in a side-by-side mode with an older version of Office that you currently have for a specified amount of time. Why? Because they coexist. You can have an old version of Office in MSI format next to Clicked Run to speed up your migration. This allows you to do less testing up front and just start deploying the clients, still allowing users to, when there is a problem, go back to their old version of Office and for you to kind of do the testing in the background, and then at a specified time and point in time, just remove the old version of Office. Common issues in coexistence state arise around shared extension points, such as file type associations, so for which there can only be one owner. So for example, when you do install Clicked Run afterwards, it will become the default. But when you install, for example, an MSI patch, it might, it does make itself the default again, so there's kind of a back and forth. This is also why this should never be a very long scenario. This is only for the migration scenario itself. And we have documented what to do to prevent most file association errors. So, and what happens, for example, with Word, there's a certain repair mode that comes up. So if you're running two MSI versions next to one another, it's really not recommended. It is supported. Not recommended, though, because it does pose a lot of problems like repair modes and things that come up. You can only have one version of Outlook installed. And this type of thing. So in case you do have a broken installation, what are the options that you have? So the first one is running quick repair. It's a local repair that fixes the type associations. So the file type associations, shortcuts, and other extensions. This runs fully locally, so there's no connection or any kind of streaming of additional source data. Then there's an online repair. What this essentially does is it removes and then reinstalls the entire Office 365 Pro Plus build. And it does install the latest build that's available on CDN using default settings, right? So if you do have group policy in place, obviously it's going to overwrite any default settings that you have, but if you use online repair, it's going to use the CDN to stream sources. And this might mean that 1 gigabyte is going through your network, for example. This does require admin rights, so the user can't just kick this off themselves, but just for your help center to know. What's also important to know with online repair, if you have excluded any applications, because this you can configure this in your configuration XML file, right? You can leave out Access, you can leave out Word, you can leave out PowerPoint. Whatever you've left out, if you carry out an online repair, all of the applications will come back. So with online repair, there's no possibility to kind of exclude an app. And that's, yeah, that's just the way it is. So you have to be aware of this. If you're running an online repair and you have previously excluded any applications, it will come back. rollback scenario. For the rollback scenario, you do not use the Office deployment tool, so the setup.exe file that you use for the installation. But instead, you use Office Click to Run Client.exe. This is created when you install Office. So this is not something that you have to separately download. It's in your files. And you can use this to manually trigger an update or a downgrade to a defined build version. So what does that mean? Not sure if anybody did attend the update session. So if when Office updates, what it essentially does is it looks at the version that is installed on the PC and compares it to the newer version that's being made available to the client. Whether that's in the cloud or in your local infrastructure doesn't matter. And the only thing that it does, it does a binary delta comparison and then just pulls down everything that has changed from the existing version to the newer version. Downloads that in the background and then applies a difference. So this, besides the download, the application takes a couple of minutes. And depending on how good the connection is, the download is also really small because download sizes, well, in the past couple of months, maybe less than 100 megabyte definitely per month. You can use the same mechanism for your downgrading scenario. So if you have found in your testing environment that you've applied an update and this is causing trouble in your environment with a third-party tool, with an add-in, whatever the reason is, and you can't use it, so you need to roll back. Previously, what you've had to do is uninstall Office if you had an issue and pretty much reinstall to the state that you wanted to go back to. With Click to Run, what you can do is just trigger the Office Click to Run.exe and with a downgrade mechanism, and it essentially does the same thing as when it updates. It just does a delta comparison to the version you're telling the client to go to, and then just makes a delta comparison. So that's really all that happens in that scenario. And this also takes a few minutes. It's not like uninstall and reinstall completely, but it's really a few minutes of being able to roll back. Are there any questions? Otherwise, the session gets really lonely and short. I know it's Friday afternoon, late, but if you have any questions, do ask them. This is a troubleshooting session, so you should have some questions about troubleshooting. Yes? No? Okay. Any general questions on Click to Run? This is the last session, so we have all the time in the world. Because I'm pretty much through with the basic content, so if you have questions, you can ask anything now. Okay. No. All right. well, one last thing I do want to say is for anybody who hasn't seen that, go to Yammer, everything's on there, and do fill out our evaluations because we want to know what we can do better, what you're missing in the presentations, in any of the presentations, also maybe what you liked. So do fill out your eval, pick up one of the t-shirts, the orange and pretty ones outside there, which you will get if you do that. And yeah, if there really are no questions, I will be around after, but otherwise, thank you. Yeah.
Is there any tools from another from server side on Office 365? How we can C with logs, not only computer, not only just on Office, right on Office 365.
No. You will have to go onto the machine to get these logs. There's no way they're not being populated to the portal directly in user context.
Not the same tools, maybe another tools.
I don't think you attended the previous sessions. Something that does give you control over logging is telemetry, Office telemetry. This is, we went through this in the last session. So this is something you have to set up in your backend infrastructure, and this gives you information on all the documents being used, on the architecture of the Office version, and if any errors occur, it's all reported in there. And you even get very detailed information on what kind of error it is and if it was an add-in or any kind of solution within Office that created that. So this is something that's admin-specific, that's run in the background. So this is definitely something you can set up. But this is user-specific, so it's only on the machine. But telemetry would be the tool that you're looking for. And you'll find the presentation on that on Yammer, so you can take a look at it afterwards. Anything else? Okay, well, thank you. And then if you do want to, you can head into any of the other sessions. Otherwise, you're free to go. And thank you for attending Ignite Moscow. And yeah, have a good weekend.